take before they got a scum of the Roberto?
What? It was almost automatic, because once the ball started rolling, I mean, and there were girls that were coming, and they were doing mitzvahs, and they seemed to be very stark. Why would a father send? And they, you know, they in the beginning they had to recruit girls, but then how could a rav tell somebody no? You know, your kid should be like that public school kid. The choice was public school, or public school without any Jewish education, either an afternoon school or this. And after World War I, the Rabbanim's Haskama was almost worthless. The communities no longer were communities.
Well, the Belzers, how long did they finally give it?
Well, the Belzers created their own school system at some point. So I don't know if there was particular issues. They have something called Beis Malka. And there's actually a Satma Dayan who wrote a kuntris a few years ago that the whole hetter for Beis Yaakov was only temporary. Today, Baruch Hashem, we don't need it anymore, and we should abolish schools for girls. There's always somebody who will take some position on something. Yes, there was a Satman in America like that, that wrote that you know, it's only Eizlas Hashem. Baruch Hashem, today, everybody's frum and tzadekis. We should just let it, I don't know. I mean,
uneducated.
What?
What
they call debrief them. What?
The pendulum's actually swung so far now, the girls' school is actually stronger than the boys'.
Well, the lesson that should be for the boys' school.
Europe have an alternative? Like in Germany, France?
Germany had, in the mid 1800s, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger spoke to a graduating class of girls at a graduation. You should read it. It's written, it's printed. He spoke a speech, an aspiring. In Germany, the German schools are the prototype of our schools. He spoke to them, you know, like he said, you think that your examinations now were the hardest exams you've ever had. Welcome to life. Life is the hardest exam. Germany was way ahead of the curve on that, because that's where they were coming from. It was a modern world. Education was mandatory. People believed in it. So Germany was way ahead of the curve, but they were not taking any of it. They were not buying into it. The Munkacher writes about how terrible it is. He walked by a shul, and near the shul, there were Beis Yaakov girls. They were having some sort of tefillah, and they were singing Rachman al Etzlan. If their singing goes into the shul, then the, you know, college, you know, it was.
Did it spread to Lithuania also?
What?
Did Beis Yaakov spread to Lithuania also?
Yeah. Yes. In Lithuania. Well, let's explain something. No, not really. Lithuania was not connected to Poland because the border was sealed. Lithuania had its own movement. Lithuania was saved by two German rabbanim who came as World War I chaplains when Germany took over Lithuania. They established a school system which became the Haredi school system. There was a Yavne Gymnasia, which was a one gymnasia. They had Chorev, which was a boys' school system. They had girls' system. They established a similar track in Lithuania. And Lithuania had the same problems, and they were the ones who did it there, together with Telz Yeshiva. Telz Yeshiva was unique in the yeshivas that they had a very strong sense of communal responsibility. Even Telz in America, someone told me, he sent out two people to South Africa to make yeshiva, to Minneapolis to make yeshiva, Chicago. They were very into a bigger picture, Klal Yisrael. So Telz supported that actively. Telz also were believers in girls' education. So Lithuania had its own particular renaissance. It was parallel in many ways, also German-inspired. The Germans were able to give it the right structure and produce a curriculum. There was no curriculum for girls' school, for any school. There was no curriculum. It was, what am I going to teach them? And you really were creating yesh ma'ayin, something from nothing.
They couldn't even read, could they?
What?
They couldn't even read, right? They couldn't even read.
Yeah, reading Hebrew was optional at all. What did you want, Yaakov?
There's a true story with the Chazon Ish that he when they told the girls are singing and they're dismissing.
Yeah, that was in Bnei Brak. There were a group of girls that had been saved, you know, from the Shoah, from the Holocaust, and they had an institution, you know, like a place for them. And somebody walked by and told the Chazon Ish, it's terrible because they're singing. They're sitting and singing in the house, you know, people by the windows are open, so I might walk by. And he said, wow, they're singing. What a happy psura. They're able to sing. You really made me feel good. So that was the Chazanish's take on it.
What was the difference between, you already had the model in Germany, so why did they have to?
Germany was considered, first of all, Germany was a different world. It was like, even though Germany and Poland are, Germany was a different world. They looked at Germany as a place that, it's like when somebody is dead and you inject him with something that you wouldn't give to, it's like somebody's terminally ill. In Germany, it's different because Germany was gone and you have to do it. But Poland, with Erlich, Bnois Yisrael, and Messeris of Somedaris, we don't need that stuff. It was one of the things that the Gerer Rebbe, when they made Agudas Yisrael, was very wary of the Germans. On the one hand, he wanted the Germans involved because they had all of these abilities of structure, organization, connections, language, education. He did not want Agudas Yisrael to become involved with internal affairs. He didn't want somebody in Frankfurt telling him how to run Warsaw. He did not want that influence. So he put down as one of the founding points of Aguda, Nahar Nar Vepashte. There's a river with many branches. In other words, no one has the right to, we can't make takanas for any internal issues. We deal with anything that's a common issue for all from communities, we deal with it. But they put out a newspaper, Beisak, they put out a journal, they put out plays, she wrote plays. Freie people would come to the performance of Beis Yaakov's plays because it was a big thing. People had no diversions. They never didn't have smartphones, so they couldn't afford smartphones. So the only thing they could do was go to, when somebody put on a play on Hanukkah, it was wow. They stood in line for tickets. She had that sense.
Was she very Landau during those years? Did she
read all that? She was mad last few years. We know nothing. She never writes about it.
You have to imagine.
I have no idea. I assume it was supportive, but it's one of the hidden. It's one of the mysteries. We don't know, and that's that. Al Capone. What?
Amazing. I mean, everyone said quiet. We don't need those. Don't disturb.
I mean, her family thought that she's off Haraka, and they weren't happy with it. And that's why her brother said, until he doesn't get the blessing from the Rebbe, it's not going to happen. And he went, and he was very surprised that the Rebbe said, he told him he wants to make an education to girls, it should be Hatzlacha. For some reason, later on, Bells drew back. I don't know. I'm not sure why. And nobody knows. I mean, it's not known.
Why was the secular community so against her?
They hated the old and the frum with a passion. I think it reminded them, it was like a red flag. It's just like for the Zionists in the early years of Israel, live and let live was not the motto. It was, we will uproot the old, destroy the old, and make new. And there was a lot of the modern was built on a hatred of the old. We must destroy it all and rebuild on the ashes. That was the attitude. So you're coming in to make more rebbitzins here. This is what we're trying to get against. So their mentality was, by adding a little bit lemude chol, people are going to go there instead of becoming modern young women of the 20th century. This is terrible. So they were against it and they made fun of it, and there was a lot of enmity. What?
Avraham
Martre. Avraham Martre. No, and people have tainus that Aguda sort of, they were in charge of Beis Yaakov, and they basically ran it and everything like that. You're cutting us out. The truth was, they were the first ones in. They were also organized enough where they could do things. The literature were not organized. The Ger is a movement, and if the Rebbe says, I want this done, 10 people will do it. There's nothing like it in our world. I mean, in our world, if somebody says some 10 people will have 10 different ways how to do it. It's a different world. But over there, it's an army. It's, and they were the ones that ran Aguda And Beis Yaakov movement was all a good of people. And who were Geras, you know, there was a lot of Geras. Sharansky, the first seminary was Ger. Wolf in Bleibrak, wasn't a Ger, it was German. Levine, Bunim Levine in Yerushalayim. They were Geras because Ger had that Mesoris of establishing those schools. And, you know, they went with it.
Kaplan
was a Talmida of Sarah Schneera. Leute, he had a Talmida at Sarah Schneera seminary. Vichna Kaplan was Litvish, but she was in Poland later. She was in Brisk, I think, or something like that. She was.